HarperCollins and Harper Audio present Forever Birchwood by Danielle Daniel. Performed by Tiffany Eilich. In memory of Cindy Landry, friends forever, and Sheila Berry, for believing in me, I carry you both in my heart. For every child who ever swam in one of the 330 lakes. The city of Greater Sudbury is located within the traditional territory of the Robinson-Huron Treaty, the traditional lands of the Atikamekw, Anishinaabeg, and the Wanapate First Nations. Chapter 1. Good things always happen on Saturdays. I was born on a Saturday, so I should know. The chance of having a fun day multiplies because some things only happen on this day, like Saturday morning cartoons, meeting my friends at Birchwood, and sleepovers. But the best thing about Saturday is that there's still another day before the weekend is done. So that if, for some reason, Saturday isn't what you hope it will be, you still have Sunday left over. A backup fun day. Saturday is also the day I spend with Grandma Hool. Some days we play gin rummy and sip mint tea, and some days we just weed her garden and drink large glasses of lemonade. Today, she has an adventure planned for us that she won't tell me much about, except that it's going to be beyond amazing. From where I'm sitting on my front porch, I spot her coming down the street now, zipping around the corner in her ancient gray Chevrolet. She pulls the van into our driveway and rolls down the window. "Fancy meeting you here, granddaughter," she calls to me. Her brown eyes are bright, and her silver hair hangs in a bob high above her shoulders. "Funny one, Grandma," I say as I head down the walk and climb into the passenger seat. "So, what is this adventure you're taking me on?" "Somewhere I should have brought you ages ago. Buckle up, Buttercup." Just around the corner, we see Mr. Patel approaching his truck. He's dressed in his dark blue coveralls and steel-toe boots, practically our town's official uniform. Grandma pokes her head out the window. "Happy sightseeing, Gus," she hollers as Mr. Patel hikes into his front seat. "Safe voyage down the hatch," she adds. "Thanks, Gwen. Working a double today." He lifts his ball cap and places it back down on his head. Grandma pats me on the knee as we pull onto the road. "No matter how long I've lived here, I'll never understand how these miners go so long without seeing the sun. It's just not natural. Living creatures need the sun." She grips the steering wheel. "That darkness sure aged your grandpa."
"I miss him too, Grandma," I say, feeling my heart get sore. "My grandpa died over a year ago, and he was a miner all his life. Sometimes, I wonder if Poppy would still be here if he had worked in a bank or a sporting goods store." Grandma elbows me and gives me a glance.
"Is Gus's son still in your class? Hari? He's such a kind boy."
"Yeah," I answer, though I'm glad we're almost out of the neighborhood without seeing him. At least not right now, wearing these cut-off jean shorts and this old shirt. We turn onto the main road where the pizza place, the tire place, and the gas station are all lined up before taking a sharp left turn that leads to the highway. As soon as we do, the mountains that surround Sudbury grow blacker before my eyes, dotted with newly planted trees and shrubs. A stranger might think things don't get enough rain or sunshine out here, but it's actually the pollution from the mines that once wiped out much of the trees and vegetation. Some areas were harder hit than others.
"There it is," Grandma nods at the superstack. "Standing tall and always at full attention. You know, dear, I have friends who risked their lives building it just before you were born. They were hoisted to the very top on cement buckets, of all things. Can you imagine?"
I watch the dark smoke curling up.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?